Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. Quite a bit to talk about this hour. I'll be talking with choreographer Gregory Dawson and saxophonist-composer Richard Howell about their new project, Mangaku, or Coming of Age, this Friday and Saturday at the Yerba Buena Center Theater in San Francisco. Also on the program, Floating in Midair, their last collaboration. Stopping by our conductor, Derek Tam, and mezzo-soprano Molly Mahoney to talk about the East Bay premiere of Street Requiem at the First Congregational Church this Saturday in Berkeley. Composed in memory of all those who live on the margins of society. We'll learn more about that shortly. From Hillbarn Theater, the Peninsula's premier theater company in Foster City, will talk with mezzo-soprano Ana Paula Malagón, who sings the role of Maria in the season-opening production of West Side Story, opening August 30th and running through September 16th. Plus a conversation with singer-songwriter, Bay Area native, Spencer Day, to talk about his recent new album, Angel City, and his upcoming performances at Feinstein's at the Nico this Friday and Saturday. Stay with us. That's a brief excerpt, the Gloria section from Street Requiem, composed in 2014 by Australian composers Kathleen Maguire, Andy Payne, and Jonathan Welch. It's a work that's composed in memory of all those who live on the margins of society or who have died nameless, homeless, or innocent on streets around the world. It's about a 50-minute work. It's a cantata that employs gospel, Celtic, neo-romantic, neo-baroque, as well as contemporary compositional styles to reflect the multicultural and multi-faith traditions of modern urban life and some of its subsequent problems. Benefit performance this Saturday will be for the Women's Daytime Drop-In Center in Berkeley to support its programs for homeless women and their children. Singers from the Berkeley Community Chorus and Orchestra, the Berkeley Women's Community Chorus, and First Church Berkeley Choir, under the direction of Derek Tam, will join together with a chamber orchestra to perform this Street Requiem. Singing the mezzo-soprano role is Molly Mahoney, who joins me in studio, as well as director Derek Tam. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Derek, when did you first hear about this work?
I heard about it a year and a half ago. I was introduced to this work by a couple of people who were so blown away after hearing a performance of this piece that they wanted to do a performance of it in Berkeley. And so over the past year and a half, they've put together this project, and I'm just so proud of all the work that they've done, not only to raise money to fund the project, but to transform into a fundraiser for the Women's Daytime Drop-In Center.
And you've heard this work performed as well elsewhere?
I have not yet.
Okay.
So I'm really excited to sort of bring it to life, if you will.
And it is. It's really gaining traction all around the world because this is such a, it's a problem that does not affect just one corner of society. It's all over.
Exactly. And it's so visible, I think, in San Francisco and in the East Bay, especially in Berkeley, which has struggled for decades with homelessness and unhoused issues. So,
I should mention that in addition to my guest Molly Mahoney, a frequent guest and good friend, tenor Brian Thorsett, will also be soloist. Molly, how did you first come to this work?
I was invited to join the project, I guess a couple months ago they contacted me, and so I immediately went online and listened to the recording that we heard earlier and was impressed by just the variety of all the different styles that came together to create this piece, and it's a wonderful celebration, and I think the most important thing about this is that it in addition to being unifying and hopeful, is almost at times confrontational. You can feel a little uncomfortable as you're singing or as you're in the audience, and it challenges you to think about, okay, how am I going to contribute to the solution, and how they've decided to bring to that solution is with the women's drop-in clinic, which is such an incredible place. I've been learning more and more about it. There's so many resources there for women and their children.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of resources, conductor Derek Tam, you've got a lot of people to rein in for this performance. Tell us about who's assembled for this.
So we started rehearsing on Tuesday. and it's 100 people drawn from many different choirs across the Bay Area. There will also be a chamber orchestra joining us. And, of course, Molly and Brian, who I have worked with in the past, I'm so excited to work with again.
Mm-hmm. And Brian, as I mentioned, has been a good collaborator as well with me, and he's a frequent guest on Open Air because the man is just so wonderfully prolific and busy.
Yes.
It's a pleasure to have him around. So, Molly, tell us a little bit about more of the singing that you do.
Sure. I do a variety of different music. I just sang in West Edge Opera's Mata Hari. I know you were chatting with Mark
indeed.
A couple of weeks ago.
Sadly, I had to miss that one. None of the dates worked out for me.
It was a fantastic experience. So I sing opera, musical theater, and jazz. I'm just starting booking for a national tour of a one-woman cabaret show. I'm doing Mischief. So you can check out my website for upcoming details.
Well, that's intriguing. Title, you're going to have to give us a little bit more than that.
I mean, well, it's a 70-minute show. You laugh, you cry, and we take you through music from the 30s and 40s, as well as some folk tunes and other surprises as we weave story and song.
I should mention that your website for more information is mollymarymahoney.com. Derek, tell us about the other work you're doing in the Bay Area and beyond.
I do a lot of choral conducting as well as some orchestral and operatic conducting. And primarily my focus as a player is as in historical keyboards. So the harpsichord, early pianos, that's the stuff that really draws my interest. And so depending on the week, you'll see me on the podium, at the keyboard, or doing all sorts of other things to fill the time in between.
Working musician, that's
exactly.
What counts. Derek at saiho.com, Derek, DereksaiHo, tam.com for more information on things, all related to Derek. So as I mentioned earlier, this employs quite a different number of styles. Mm-hmm. Is that more of a challenge than having your choruses and orchestras focus on just one particular style?
I want to say first off that the piece really blends in the styles quite effortlessly, so they do half the work for us. That said, I think for some people, some of the styles are less familiar, but the composers have made it very accessible. So that's credit to them, and that the chorus has been working really hard prior to the first rehearsal to sort of learning the style, really listening and assimilating. I think the composers describe it best when they said their piece was meant to combine the different threads of music that happen in an urban landscape. And the choir is similar in that there are a lot of people drawn in from diverse communities. And so we're finding as we're rehearsing that there's a lot of synergy and kind of unexpected good things coming out of that.
The work is called Street Requiem, and the various movements pull their names and some of the texts from the Latin Mass for the Dead, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So just as similar as pulling different strands of music, the composers chose to incorporate the traditional Mass for the Dead texts in the Catholic tradition with modern texts, also texts from other traditions as well. So, yeah, very, very exciting stuff.
We're going to go out with the Lacrimosa movement. Tell us the style of that movement.
Yeah, it's... so we heard the Gloria right at the beginning, which is just sort of ecstatic celebration. And then all of a sudden we shift from that ecstatic celebration in a South African tradition to something that's Celtic and very poignant in that way. Kind of from this extrovert exuberance, all of a sudden we're drawn in. The orchestration is pared down to strings and just a penny whistle or oboe.
Lovely. Yeah. The Lacrimosa from the Street Requiem by Australian composers Kathleen McGuire, Andy Payne, and Jonathan Welch. Conductor Derek Tam, Molly Mahoney, thanks so much for coming in today. We wish you a spectacular performance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Links to their websites as well as information about this special performance this coming Saturday at the BCCO. Let me get the correct site here. Yes, at the Street Requiem, Saturday, August 25th. It's at the First Church Berkeley in Berkeley. More information at bcco.org. And the additional websites at our website, klw.org, for more information. Lacrimosa movement from Street Requiem with singers From the BCCO, the Berkeley Women's Community Chorus, and First Church Berkeley Choir, under the direction of Derek Tom, joined together with a chamber orchestra to perform the Street Requiem this coming Saturday, August 25th, at First Church Berkeley. That's at 2345 Channing Way in Berkeley. Information at bcco.org. A work that was written to bring a sense of peace, remembrance, and hope to all communities that are struggling with homelessness. And all the proceeds will benefit the Women's Daytime Drop-In Center in Berkeley. The Hill Barn Theater, the peninsula's premier theater company, opens its 2018-19 season with the Tony Award-winning musical West Side Story. Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, transported to New York City as two young idealistic lovers find themselves caught between warring street gangs, the Jets and the Sharks. You've heard of it? Oh, I think so. The performance opens next Thursday, August 30th, and run through September 16th at the Hill Barn Theater. HillBarnTheaterRE.org for more information about the performances. The original work was nominated for 6 Tonys, including Best Musical, winning for Best Choreography and Best Scenic Design only. But the 1961 musical, directed by Robert Wise and Jerome Robbins, won 10 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. Among the cast, Tony will be played by Jeffrey Bryan Adams, Bernardo will be played by Jorge Diaz, Riff by Josiah Frampton, and Anita by Danielle Philippel. In the wonderful role of Maria is my guest, Mexican soprano Ana Paula Malagón. Her operatic roles include debuting in the role of the young Inyold in Debussy's beautiful Pelléas and Mélisande in 2012, as well as roles in Puccini's Suor Angelica and Chabrier's L'Étoile. Contemporary singing engagements include the What's Next Music Festival in Canada, and she currently resides in San Francisco, continuing to study under the guidance of Cesar Ulloa. A very warm welcome to you, Ana Paula.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it is sort of an operatic role that Bernstein writes for you in Maria, isn't it?
Definitely. It's a very demanding role. It's a bit of a stretch to be sometimes in the middle range and then going up to very, very, very high seas, and it's very exciting and especially dramatically very demanding acting-wise. So it's a fantastic role to perform. I feel a big connection between Maria and I from both our Latin backgrounds and being idealist and romantic women.
Of course, and you've got quite a cast that's helping you out there as well.
Definitely. It's such a joy to work with my colleagues, to work with Jeffrey as Tony. It's delightful, and we have so much trust, and we have a lot of fun. Every one of my cast members, we really are putting the best of ourselves. Everyone is coming prepared to every rehearsal, and every rehearsal just getting it's better and better every single time. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to see how much support we have between each other and also our directors, who are absolutely fabulous to work with.
Is this the first time you're tackling the role of Maria?
This is the first time. But funny enough, I had been auditioning for the role of Maria for about a year and preparing the role with a friend and learning the sights. And after a couple of auditions that I hadn't been selected, this was the time that I was selected to perform Maria, and actually will be performing Maria again next year at another theater. But it's just been kind of the beginning of the role. So it kind of just happened at the time that the right time.
Sure.
When it had to be.
Are you finding yourself drawn more to musical theater roles as a result of
this? I am actually exploring this wonderful world of musical theater. I had for the past 10 years dedicated myself to classical singing and to opera, and just it's also another world where it had absorbed me, and I absolutely love it. There's just so much magic and passion and drama, and in the same way in musical theater, but there's other, it's a different challenge in musical theater, definitely. And I'm starting to explore more roles, so I'm keeping my mind open to both opera and musical theater, because mm-hmm. I don't know yet. I really love both genres. They both offer amazing things for a public.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a brief in the field recording, shall we say, of you rehearsing I Feel Pretty.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of that, and then we'll talk more with Ana Paula Malagón. Brief rehearsal from the Hill Barn's production of West Side Story being presented down at the Hill Barn Theater, hillbarntheater.org, for more information. And in the role of Maria, Ana Paula Malagón joining me in studio once again. Beautiful singing.
Thank you very much.
You can really hear how it takes a virtuoso to get that some of those notes out. You know, I've mentioned earlier that everyone knows the story of West Side Story being based on Romeo and Juliet. But a lot of people don't realize that the show originally, as the creators Sondheim and Jerome Robbins and all of those folks originally intended, it was supposed to be an East Side Story based on the conflict between the Jews of the Lower East Side and the Catholics. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very different show that eventually became what we know and love as West Side Story.
Yeah, and now to see it, it really touches into racial issues. And for me, this show it's very special because it really expresses and shows the public that at the end of the day, we're not so different. And actually, we all want the same thing at the end. And it's beautiful to see through a love story that when you don't see the labels of people, when you don't see color, race, anything, you really are able to fall in love with one another and to accept each other. And that's kind of why it's so important to create these productions and to be part of them and for people to come and see it. Because that's why theater is for. It's really to present messages and move our society forward into harmony.
Right. It's especially a message that resonates now, given what's going on in this country. Maybe a small attempt at unity down at the Hill Barn Theater.
Yeah.
Through West Side Story. We did mention very briefly some of the creative team that are involved in this production. It includes Rick Reynolds as music director, Ken Harvath as choreographer, Raven Winter doing costume, hair, and makeup design, among other folks. A fantastic production. It's supported by producers Jerry and Eve Lerman. We should also mention that the Hill Barn Theater has been working since 1941, serving the San Francisco Bay Area community as a community productions for the community and beyond, winning many awards down the well, down the way. Dan Deemer's especially involved in that production. He's their executive artistic director. And he says, I cannot think of a better time to tell the story of two people who transcend their differences with the power of love.
Exactly. And couldn't say it better.
and helping that story along will be Mexican-born soprano Ana Paula Malagón in the role of Maria. Thank you so much for coming in, Ana.
Thank you for having me.
And as I mentioned, Jeffrey Brian Adams, who has been a guest on Open Air before, will be Tony, Jorge Diaz as Bernardo, Josiah Frampton as Riff, and Danielle Felipel as Anita in this production of West Side Story. hillbarntheater.org for more information. That's Hill Barn Theater with an R-E, Hill Barn, T-H-E-A-T-R-E dot O-R-G. West Side Story opens this next Thursday, the August 30th through September 16th. Better time to catch West Side Story than this celebratory year of Leonard Bernstein's centenary. Hill Barn Theater, that's theater with an R-E, .org for more information. Still to come here on Open Air, a talk with local singer-songwriter Spencer Day. And next, well, that incredible saxophone player is from the artistry of Richard Howell. He and Dawson Dance SF present their newest collaboration this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Yerba Buena Center Theater in San Francisco, borrowing the title of Howell's just-released jazz album, Coming of Age, Mangaku. The program will feature the world premiere of that work, a work for 12 dancers, with live musical accompaniment from Mr. Howell, as well as guest artists. Rounding out the program, Floating in Midair, their most previous collaboration, which received its premiere at San Francisco's Bayview Opera House earlier this year. My guest is the great saxophonist Richard Howell, who is an internationally recognized jazz artist as well as a band leader, an award-winning music arranger and composer. He's played with some of the great legends of blues, jazz, soul, and world music, including, among others, the great Etta James, Chaka Khan, Taj Mahal, Carlos Santana, and Maurice White. Performance venues he's enjoyed include the Monterey and Montreux Jazz Festivals, Lincoln Center, Hollywood Bowl, as well as Royal Albert Hall and The Tonight Show, believe it or not. Over the past several years, he's devoted more of his time to composing and recording some of his own music, and his recordings include A Perfect Night in San Francisco, Outlier, We Are All Connected, Burkina, and his latest, just released, coincidentally, we'll talk about Mangaku. Richard, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Dave. It's an honor to be here.
Well, happy to have you. Well, this is your fifth collaboration with Mr. Dawson, Gregory Dawson, which founded his own dance company back in 2007. But you've been working with him since 2013.
Yes.
How did this relationship start?
Oh, it's great. Someone gave Gregory, actually, my album, Laura Ellis, actually. A dancer and the director of the Black Choreographers Festival. She gave him my album. Gregory listened to the music and just got ecstatic about it and contacted me, and the two of us sat down and had a conversation about him choreographing that entire album. We all connected.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of how the music is coordinated with what you've done with him. How have the themes come about? We know that Mangaku's coming of age, but what have the previous collaborations been?
Well, this particular one, as I said, it was the album was already created, and he choreographed to the album. The second collaboration was In This Moment, where he created the dance, and I composed music around it. And in the previous, there were a couple of combinations of both. And this particular one, Mangaku, Gregory composed some music around the album, and we're still composing. Well, I've just completed composing some music, some additional music for this particular show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that combination of them both.
Okay. Mangaku means coming of age in the Fula language,
mm-hmm.
And it's one of the largest ethnic groups in West Africa.
Yes,
what
it is
your association with the Fula?
I spent some time in Mali and Burkina Faso, and I met a lot of people who speak the language of Fula. And when I was looking for a title, I was asking about coming of age, and they said Fula. Quite simple.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they said Mangaku, actually.
Mangaku,
yes.
And how is... There must be some influence of what you've heard in West Africa going into this music.
Well, I'm immersed myself in listening to African music from its, you know, from the whole entire diaspora, from the funk, soul, hip hop, and whatever. So yeah, I'm totally into the African music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and not only your own artistry will be live as part of these performances this weekend, but tell us about some of your collaborating artists.
Well, on the album here, it's the young hot stretch music artist Christian Scott.
Well, you have to give me a definition of stretch music.
Okay. Well, it's stretching the boundaries of jazz,
okay. All
basically.
Right.
Yeah, that's he's kind of created his own genre, and the genre that I created is, as I call it, it's bridge music. And it bridges folks, things that are uncommon, we come together. And also being one who lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, I cross bridges daily, you know, to bring things together. So mm-hmm. It's a pathway.
That's a great segue to the cut we're going to go to shortly called Bridges.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about the work and what's coming. Is there already a sixth collaboration in store? Are these considered a series?
We're talking about it. Absolutely. Absolutely. We seem to work very well together, Gregory and I. It's a great... I hearken it to... the Hong Kong exercise or Tai Chi, because there's a push and a pull and a give and take, and it works really well with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gregory was to join us in studio, but unfortunately couldn't join us.
He apologized. He is in the tech rehearsal, and it's demanding.
Given the number of forces involved,
yeah.
I can understand that, but just let me give a little plug for Gregory. He's quite a prolific choreographer, making over 90 works since founding his self-named company back in 2007, Mangaku will be the 17th work for Dawson Dance SF. Other companies he's worked for or has been commissioned by include Boston Conservatory, Company C Contemporary Ballet, Robert Moses Kin, Tacoma Metropolitan Ballet, several other universities, as well as Alonzo Lines Ballet and Training Program, where he's an instructor and was also a company member for nearly two decades. So kudos to you, Gregory, and wishing you well in your...
He's an incredible choreographer and an incredible human being.
In your tech rehearsals. These performances are the 24th and 25th, Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m. at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts Theater on Howard Street here in San Francisco. Best website for information is DawsonDanceSF.org. So, Richard, a little bit more about what's coming up for you beyond the world of dance.
Ooh. I've been working for the State Department. I lecture jazz history, mm-hmm. And mostly I've been doing it in Europe. There's a few things. We're going to see what happens with this particular this show, because I would like to take it beyond. We're talking about taking it outside of the United States, Gregory and I. So that's the conversation. And the band itself, the album's actually doing number 48 at right now on the Jazz Week charts.
Fantastic.
So it's, and moving forward. So things are moving quite well with that.
All right.
And it's on the IUE label, which is the drummer Lenny White. Are you familiar with Lenny White?
Sure.
From Return. It's his new label. So we're coming up with a few new ideas and concepts to move this band forward as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. You mentioned in some of the writing about this particular work, it's literally about you coming into your own as an artist. How is that so in terms of Mangaku coming of age?
I have been very blessed and very fortunate to do a lot of production for other artists, form other bands for other people as a director and for other groups. And some of the skills that I've learned from working with folks like Etta James, Chaka Khan, Marisa White, and these people, I decided it was time for me to kind of do it for myself because I've been doing it for others. So I'm kind of coming into my age, my own, as a musician and as a producer and as a writer. At the same time, putting this album together, my youngest child is coming into his own as an adult. And he is the young drummer on this particular album.
Fantastic.
He was, and this album was recorded when he turned 17. He's now 20, you know, but that's when we laid the basic tracks. So it's both of us coming into age, and Gregory's coming into age. We're all coming together, sort of coming into our own, you know, standing up on our own, basically.
Well, we look forward to what you're doing, not only with Dawson Dance SF, but on your own as well.
Thank you.
You had mentioned the Bridges track that we're going to hear yet. Yeah, let's hear another explanation of the bridges that you consider in this particular track from Mangaku.
Well, as I say, we're bridging it. We all have things in common that we seem to be separating, and these days things seem even further separated. So creating a pathway so that we all can come together is the music that I'm creating, that I choose to recognize it as. This is what I call bridge music. And again, crossing all these bridges at all, it's all these bridges in the Bay Area. It seems like the common thing or the right thing to do, just continue to call this music bridge music.
And if you need some music to help you through that bridge commute, I suggest you pick up the soundtrack.
I think that's
to
the right
coming
thing.
Of age Mangaku. Sometimes those bridges can take a while to cross.
I crossed one today.
Richard Howell, thanks for taking some time today.
David, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for what you do.
DawsonDanceSF.org for more information about the world premiere of Mangaku this Friday and Saturday at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts on Howard Street here in San Francisco. DawsonDanceSF.org for more information. Everybody kind of in the game. You found a new way to point a finger, proclaiming you know who's to blame. I have seen the music lift spirits from hearts that know. Tasha Howell, the featured vocalist on that work by Richard Howell, who is heard on tenor and soprano sax, as well as some vocals and percussion on that track, Bridge Music from Coming of Age Mangaku. Also on that track featured Christian Scott Etunda Adua, I think that's how that's said, as trumpeter. And speaking of coming of age, Richard Howell's son was on drums, L.A. Salif Howell. More information on how you can get that CD at richardhowellandsuddenchanges.com. And those performances, again, this coming Friday and Saturday at the Yerba Buena Center. Information on those is at ybca.org or at dawsondancesf.org. Good afternoon. Once again, I'm David LaTulipe, just abounding with guests with incredible talent here on this week's Open Air. Here's another one.
Diamonds, caviar, Perrier Jouet, fish I heard it got, a yacht in Saint-Tropez. But I got love, baby, will that ever be enough? A sweet, sweet sugar daddy's what you're looking for.
Gucci, Tiffany, Christie, and Dior, but that ain't love. Tell me, baby, what you're really dreaming of. Oh, no, now I know. Show me what you're made of. Oh, you got a treasure. Selling your soul. He's got everything, a Bentley and a Benz, platinum credit cards and lots of famous friends. But I gotta love, baby, will there ever be enough? My love, tell me, baby, what you're really dreaming of. Oh, no, now I know. Show me what you're made of. Oh, you got a treasure. Oh, shining like gold. You want comfort and pleasure, so you keep on selling, you keep on selling your soul. Must have been the money you were talking about. Oh, oh, figure it out. Must have been the money you were talking about. Oh, oh, figure it out. Must have been the money you were talking about. Oh, oh, figure it out. Must have been the money you were talking about. Oh, you got a treasure. Selling your soul. You keep on selling, you keep on selling your soul.
That's the dulcet tones of Bay Area favorite Spencer Day, who is a number one Billboard charting jazz singer and local boy made good who has appeared at venues ranging from Lincoln Center to the Hollywood Bowl. He's making his return to the Feinstein's at the Nikko for two, I'm afraid, sold out performances only this Friday and Saturday, but we'll tell you about some of the other performances he's got coming as well, because he's continuing a tour which has and will take him to venues in New York and Southern California, as well as Vegas this November, Palm Springs next spring. Worth a visit if you can't catch him here in his native San Francisco. Spencer Day, pleasure to welcome you here.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
You're kind of a vagabond somewhat. You were born in Utah, raised in Arizona, currently residing in New York City.
Yeah, between New York City and Southern California, I'm kind of bouncing back and forth for the next year due to some shows. But I always consider San Francisco, I mean, that's where I came into my own and moved here when I was 19 and first started to sing in public. So for me, San Francisco always feels like coming. So I was, as a joke, my
adopted,
friend's
adopted native son.
Yes. As a joke, a friend of mine years ago signed me up for an audition on Star Search, like the new version with Arsenio Hall. And they always, you know, really manufacture your story, because when I went on, they're like, oh, so where are you from? And I said, oh, I'm from San Francisco. That's home. And then they found, they're like, you're from Utah. They suddenly go,
found
like,
out.
You on a bale of hay, like you've
busted.
Never seen a microphone before or something. But yeah, San Francisco is very much home to me. It's great to be here again.
Well, comparisons to Harry Connick Jr. and other great singer-songwriters abound, because you have this accessibility to your voice that also has got a richness to it. Where did you first learn this wonderful style of singing? What interested you?
I think... when I was younger, my older brother has this beautiful voice, and he would sing opera, and my mom, and weirdly enough, when your parents want you to do something, you never do, so my mom tried to give me piano lessons, and I just wouldn't take it, so I was a pretty, like, depressed teenager, and I think most teenagers probably are, but I didn't really sing much. I would sing very under my breath, and it was really 50s torch singers that it would be Chet Baker and Julie London and even like Marilyn Monroe, whatever old MGM musicals, because I grew up Mormon, so we pretty much could only watch like either MGM musicals or Disney movies. So I went for the MGM musicals. But they were the singers because I couldn't sing like my brother. You know, I couldn't sing in this operatic way. But I was like, oh, if I got in front of a microphone, I was like, I can do that, though. So, and quickly after Peggy Lee, and I just, those were the singers that really, because people have, you know, compared me to, I think.
Peggy Lee?
yes, just for our looks.
I think the eyebrows do it for you.
Yeah, natural blondes, we both are. But, no, but you know, Harry Connick Jr., I liked a lot. I actually didn't, it's only been more recently I've discovered his amazing body of work, and I never really listened to Frank Sinatra until recently, but really for me it was kind of more female Tort singers, Ella, Sarah Vaughan, and Peggy Lee that really kind of I emulated, I guess, when I started singing the most.
Mm-hmm. Well, your latest CD is called Angel City. It's number seven, I guess, CDs in your closet, so to speak.
It is.
And it continues what you call your meditations on love, fame, narcissism, and how an artist can maintain integrity and authenticity in a world which so often values neither.
Yeah.
I hope there's an optimistic tone to that.
I think there is. The record kind of starts and goes through kind of different periods. But I think my time in Los Angeles, I'd been living in New York, and a record label I was with at the time wanted me to come back to L.A. And then that contract came to an end, and I found myself stuck in Los Angeles going to these parties in the Hollywood Hills with people I didn't want to talk to and didn't want to be around. And I saw a trait coming into me that I had never felt before, which is a bitterness, because I saw fame being awarded and to people that I you know, of questionable, as we see, you know, even in the ranks of politics, you know, outrageous behavior being rewarded more than good behavior is. And it wasn't the fault of Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood's been doing what Hollywood's been doing for decades. I found that I needed to reevaluate my relationship to music because the joy had really been sucked out of it. But it's not the fault of these cities. We place our own expectations on them. So for me, the record is really about falling in love with the Los Angeles that I was, you know, when I was a kid that I was in love with. And I never wanted fame, but I wanted the glamour. I wanted the exotic, you know, the exotic
parts
of it.
Money would be nice too, but
yeah. I mean, we'll take it. Yeah. But for me, a lot of those places, it's more about they really are what you make them, San Francisco included. It's, you know, it's our belief in these places that inspires the art, but also some of the heartbreak we feel because, of course, no city can live up to the expectations we heap onto them.
Indeed. We opened with one of your original tunes, I Got Love, in Perrin's Gold Digger. And we should mention that this entire CD from Angel City are all your original tunes.
They are. There's some co-writes on there, but I've been involved in every step, the mixing, mastering, and producing this one, which I have done for all of my records to some degree. But this is the first time I've been completely at the helm for everything, which was kind of intense. But fortunately, I got to work with a fantastic big band called the Budman Levy Orchestra.
I was going to say, quite a band underneath you there.
Yeah. We got to do it at Capitol Records, which is cool. They pulled out Frank Sinatra microphone, which is pretty fun. It came out of the vault,
sweet.
Like the ceremonial thing out of the box, and
that
put it
must
in there.
Have been a gas.
It was really cool. Yeah.
Oh man, and of course the musicians involved got a terrific team of arrangers involved with this as well.
Yeah. I would do the core arrangements, and then you know, the horn arrangements that Alex and those guys came up with is great, and they're also really helpful even for the tracks that I attempted on my own, because I never had any training, so I would, you know, go on like the computer and try to write something out, and then they could be like, okay, that's physically impossible to do, but I think this is what this is what you meant. So my real education has been the other musicians I've worked with, as far as, you know, my technical part, since I kind of dropped out of college very quickly.
More information about Spencer at spencerday.com, because I'm afraid the Feinstein's shows Friday and Saturday are, I'm not afraid, congratulations, they're sold out. But there is a wait list that you have to be in person for starting at 6 p.m. You never know. You might be able to catch the show. And if you can't, why not make yourself a martini and go over to spencerday.com and hear a couple tracks that way. Spencer, we do have time for one more track from your new CD, Angel City. Tell us a little bit about the California Yes.
Well, my friends in New York are always saying how flaky Californians are, and I think that they just don't understand our language, because in California, if someone invites you to a party and you say, I'll try to make it, that means no. Whereas in New York, that actually means you're going to make an effort, or you're just going to say, I'm actually not free, or I hate your parties, you know, because they're brutally honest. And so this was a song to educate all my East Coast friends called The California Yes.
Music by Spencer Day from his album Angel City. The California Yes. Thanks for coming in, Spencer.
Thank you for having me.
21 to L.A. Out of the snow and the cold and the gray. You've done your time in the grind. Now you're out here to find a new life and a little more space. Dreams of a city where everyone's pretty and nobody's ever depressed. You get a tan in your car, go buy a map to the homes of the stars. You meet an agent named Paul who says, give me a call, but you can't, 'cause he won't give his car. California, yes, a probable, likely at best. And it might drive you crazy when people say maybe, but some words are only for show. And a maybe is always a no. Try to pick up the slang. You're super cool, we should totally hang. But when you're on the Pacific, don't get too specific or think that you'll see them again. California, yes, is only a maybe at best. So some pretty baby keeps telling you maybe you might as well pack up and go. 'Cause a maybe's a possibly, probably, certainly, always a definite no.
Spencer Davis, The California Yes, which, where maybe, is always a no. It's from his original album, Angel City, Spencer Day's sold-out performances. Feinstein's at the Nico. Information at that website, feinsteinsatthenico.com. You could, perhaps could get on a waiting list starting at 6 p.m. if you go in person this Friday or Saturday, or go to spencerday.com to see where else you can catch Spencer. That's Open Air for this week. My thanks to Neil Swinkles for producing the show. Our shows are archived at kalw.org. If you got a show suggestion, by all means, send me an email, david@kalw.org. Next week, among my guests will be San Francisco Chronicle's music critic, Joshua Cosman, who will shine his special critical light on the new season here in the Bay Area. That and more on next week's Open Air. Hope you can join me.